This morning, we will take a look at the focal point of God's word for today. And that word is found in the Gospel according to John, verses 18 through 21. And this is what we read there. While we've covered verses 14 through 21, the focal point begins at verse 18, and this is what is there. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, I would like to approach the subject of masterful living. Masterful living. Everyone wants to be good at something. We spend most of our lives trying to move beyond the line of mediocrity to that place where we are respected for what we do and how we do it. Regrettably, most of our efforts to be good at anything exist beyond the veil of public anonymity. Our culture makes icons and heroes of those people who are placed on a national forum and win first place on programs like American Idol and The Voice. Or we make a really big thing of our professional athletes who set the standard for excellence in their field, calling them MVPs and world champions. They are visible. Each week they're on display to provide evidence that they have mastered their craft, that they have become the best at what they do. And what many of us are slow to realize is that God, too, has set a standard for us that we might excel in living. And if we look up to the one who came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly, then we might discover the truth about God who has given us a standard for us to achieve masterful living. That's what this text is really about. At its core, it's an invitation for those of us to consider the truth about God's purpose for sending Jesus into the world. And it's also an invitation for those of us who follow the Master to give ourselves over to masterful living in a way that God might be glorified and the world might see the glory of God in the work we do. Unfortunately, we've taken one verse out of this text and out of context and used it as a tool of exclusion, a way to say to some that if they don't believe what we believe, that their spiritual lives will perish. We mostly remember the scripture as John 3:16. And it's quite familiar to us. We typically only need to see the numbers together, 3:16, to be reminded of the words. And we quote them with great enthusiasm, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And nothing is truer than that scripture. What we don't often quote is the other part of that scripture that explains why. That Christ didn't come into the world to condemn us, to point an accusing finger at us and tell the world and us how bad we are. But Jesus came to set the world and the record right and to save the world. But there's another truth. And that truth is that most of us struggle with wanting the world to be right. We don't want the world to be right because we have some personal advantage with the world being the way it is, and we don't want to give up that advantage. We possess a distinct advantage, usually because something has been done to give us an unfair advantage, and we find it difficult not just giving up the advantage, but even admitting to the truth about how we attained our privilege and that it is unfair. And so when the light of Christ comes into our darkness, we run from it because we don't like how it makes us look. And we don't like or want to give up our privilege. And we ultimately come to hate the truth and have to admit that the truth is the light. And then in the words of an old Teddy Pendergrass song, we end up shouting, "Turn off the light!" Our position stands in stark contrast to God's word, which says those who recognize the truth about God and God's purposes take joy in doing and living and working in a way that gives glory to God. Not only that, but we do it so that the world may discover the truth about God, that God is merciful and loving, forgiving and giving, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and that God's love is displayed through us, through our efforts to live masterfully as Christ would have us live in this world. So what are we to make of it? What are we to do with this scripture that is so familiar to us that we think we know it? Well, one of the things we can do is to not run to the darkness where we might be comfortable, but run to the center of God's light and admit some things to ourselves. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the healing grace and salvation to everyone who looks to him as the standard of life and relationship with God. Now, I know many of us have difficulty with that word salvation. It's come to mean many things in our world. It's come to mean that some people don't get to go to heaven. It's come to mean that some people are saved and that some people aren't. It's come to take on a meaning of fear and intimidation. But the fear isn't created by God. The fear is created by those who choose to live out their lives benefiting from the privilege of darkness instead of rejoicing in the truth and freedom of living in the light. I'm reminded of the story of a speaker who was once at a seminar, and he took out a $20 bill and he held it up and said, "Who would like this $20 bill?" And every hand in the auditorium went up. And he said, "I'm going to give this $20 bill to one of you, but before I do it, let me first do this." So he took that $20 bill and he crumpled it up in his hand and said, "Now, who still wants this $20 bill?" And every hand in the place went up. So he said, "Well, I want to do something else." And he took that crumpled $20 bill and he threw it down on the ground and he stomped on it and smashed it into the ground. And then he reached down and picked it up and said, "Now, who still wants this $20 bill?" And everybody's hand in the place went up. And he said, "Well, you've learned a valuable lesson today." He said, "No matter what I did to this money, you still wanted it because it did not decrease in value. It was still worth $20. And then he said, many times in our lives, we are dropped, crumpled, ground into the dirt by decisions we make and circumstances that come our way. And we feel as though we are worthless. But no matter what has happened or what will happen, we will never lose our value in God's eyes. Dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, we are all priceless to our God. Some people choose not to believe that. And it wouldn't matter even if I quoted the familiar scripture that says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They choose not to believe that, even though that scripture is true about God. They choose not to believe that, so they continue to live in the darkness of life, hiding from the very God who wants them to live a masterful life, allowing others to see the light of God's grace in their lives, loving others and accepting others with an unconditional love. Some people choose to live that way, even though Jesus is God's representation of the standard of masterful living and has the power to save any and all who will look to him. You see, friends, God's true purpose isn't to destroy us. If destruction was God's plan for us, all God would have to do is to abandon us, to leave us in this world to fend for ourselves. If we wanted to self-destruct, all we have to do is to try living without God. We'll end up living in despair, never depending on anyone stronger than ourselves to support us. We'd live without hope, never realizing that there is a life beyond this life that God has prepared for us. We'd live without ever knowing what it's like to live in relationship with a God who knows everything good about us that there is to know and everything bad about us that there is to know and loves us anyway. Now, for those of us who think that because we may have been in church all of our lives, that somehow we've missed being separated from God, we couldn't be further from the truth. It's like an old evangelist, Billy Sunday, once said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in a garage makes you a car. There are people who have attended church a majority of their lives, and yet their lives, their spiritual lives, are less than masterful in one way or another. There are times when people come to God's house filled with anger and bitterness, or maybe even fear and resentment. Or for some unknown reason, people have come to church not because of their faith, but they're relying on the faith of their father or mother to be established in their relationship with God. But if we're going to pursue this masterful living in a way that God invites us to do, then it's like that old song says, Mama may have and Papa may have, but God bless the child who's got his own. We have to have our own relationship with God. Our problem or the crisis we find ourselves in is that we're living with an already predetermined verdict. We live with the truth about God that not everyone is willing to accept in their lives. And that truth is that we've developed a relationship with the darkness of our lives that we're unwilling to admit to ourselves and unwilling to admit before God. And those hidden secret things that affect our relationship with God, we hide from others in order to present an image of righteousness that others will find acceptable. And trying to hide the truth from God while denying the truth about who we really are is the greatest act of self-deception practiced on the planet. And yet God has already issued the verdict against those who choose to deny the truth about themselves while denying the truth about Jesus Christ, that Jesus came in order to save us from ourselves and our self-destructive ways. God has already issued a verdict against those who, while unwilling to admit even to ourselves what lies in the depths of our hearts, are still willing to cater to those dark desires and then justify our penchant for the darkness by denying Jesus, the the light of the world. And so there are people who present themselves as moral while living immorally. There are those who present themselves as religious while living irreligiously. There are those who continue to present themselves as just while treating others unjustly. And in our culture, the truth is being distorted and perverted to the extent that a lie is being sold as the truth, while the truth is being buried beneath the lies of the dishonest. And the result is that those who do such things are mastering a life of deceit that leads to death, and not a life of faith that leads to life. Those who do such things refuse to face the truth about God and God's willingness to forgive. They refuse to face the truth about God and God's reputation of being merciful. They refuse to accept the light of Jesus Christ, who comes to remove the darkness and shine the light of grace and truth on everyone. They refuse to accept the truth that no one can wear two faces at the same time without one of them being eventually revealed as true. And so the truth is that God never wanted us to live in ways that are destructive to who we are. What God wants for us is to live masterful lives, lives that are rich in doing good for others, helping others to discover the grace and love of God who would allow his son to die just to pull us from beneath the shroud of despair, just to prove how much we are loved. God wants us to live lives that are filled to overflowing with the goodness of Jesus operating in our lives and in our hearts, not just those we love, but those who might be our enemies. At the end, the truth about God is that God wants us to give up the role of living lives of mediocrity as Christians whose efforts to love those around us are less than masterful. Jesus, our master, came that we might model his love in the world and move away from placing the lamp of Christ's love beneath a bushel basket of indifference and hate, but to put it on a stand where the light of Christ's love can be seen by the entire world. That means that we've got to move beyond eking out a Christian life by doing just enough to get by. We must take it upon ourselves to perform our labors of love and do them masterfully so that the whole world may look at what we do and know that we are doing it by the love and grace of Jesus Christ. We must do it so that those who don't know Jesus might look up and see the standard of love God has set for the world and recognize that what we do for the God work, it truly is. That's the key to a masterful life. That's the key to masterful living, a life that imitates our master, Jesus Christ. And that's masterful living at its best. And that is the word of God today for the people of God.